next on the 5 o'clock report.
We weren't expecting it to come right at us, and now it looks like it is.
You need to take this serious, and you need to get out.
It's time to go.
This is a national security crisis.
And we have impact.
Now, let's go to the newsroom.
Ian, closing in.
We weren't expecting it to come right at us, and now it looks like it is.
Good afternoon. Thank you very much for joining us. I'm Mark Webster. Hurricane Ian is expected to hit Florida's Gulf Coast tomorrow after passing the Florida Keys later tonight. The National Hurricane Center says the Category 3 storm currently has maximum sustained winds near 120 miles per hour, and it's expected to get even stronger by tomorrow. Over 2 million South Floridians have been told to get out of Dodge now. St. Petersburg Fire Chief James Large.
We don't tell you to evacuate. Because we want to. You need to take this serious and you need to get out. We're not going to go and make you leave, but we are, you know, encouraging everyone very strongly.
This Tampa resident says you don't have to tell her twice.
Say mandatory evacuation. It's time to go.
While wind speeds grab the headlines, Fox News chief meteorologist Janice Dean says the real potential killer here is the expected storm surge.
This is one of the most vulnerable places in the U.S., the Tampa Bay area. And when we were talking about a 10-foot to 15-foot storm surge, that is going to go over top of homes.
FEMA is standing by to render aid to the Sunshine State, though Chief Deanne Griswell worries that some Floridians might be a bit cavalier when it comes to hurricane warnings.
We're talking about impacts in a part of Florida that hasn't seen a major direct impact in nearly 100 years.
Once Ian does make landfall, forecasters are also worried about the potential for a tornado outbreak. To Russia and Ukraine next, the elephant in the room, whether Vladimir Putin's threat to go nuclear in Ukraine is for real. One of his allies, former Russian President Dmitry Medvedev, says that threat is real. A former CIA director fears he might be right.
I think Putin is feeling increasingly cornered, which is a worrisome development because as a cornered rat, he may opt for taking some steps that he would prefer to avoid.
That's John Brennan. The threat lingers over the likelihood that Moscow is about to annex large stretches of Ukrainian territory through votes, which most of the world is calling sham referendums. Kremlin leaders have strongly hinted that attacks on those areas of Ukraine would be seen as attacks on Russia itself, thereby justifying a nuclear escalation. Meanwhile, reports today that Russian gas pipelines to Europe may have been sabotaged.
The Danish government says military photos show gas leaks bubbling in the Baltic Sea. Earlier, it said the Nord Stream pipelines may have been damaged by targeted attacks, and it couldn't be a coincidence. If the pipelines are shut down, it would cut off gas deliveries from Russia to Germany and Central Europe, and gas prices will surely go up again.
CBS's Cammy McCormick. Meta says it has disrupted influence operations from China and Russia on Facebook and Instagram. The Chinese account was aimed at spreading misinformation about November's midterm elections in the U.S., the Russian account promoting pro-Russian narratives about the Kremlin's invasion of Ukraine. Protests continue unabated in Iran over the suspected death of an Iranian woman at the hands of the country's so-called morality police.
She was tortured, according to eyewitnesses, says Irfan Mortazai, Mahsa's cousin, living in self-exile in Iraq. She was tortured in the van after her arrest, then tortured at the police station for half an hour, then hit on her head, and she collapsed.
If you could tell the Ayatollah one thing, what would it be?
The old dictator is in his last days, he said.
CBS's Remy Emicencio. Tucked into the latest report on illegal migration, a rising number of people whose names are on the FBI's terrorist screening database. Texas border Congresswoman Ira Flores says it's proof that open border policies are dangerous.
This is not just a humanitarian crisis. It's a national security crisis.
She's a Republican. She sits on the House Homeland Security Committee. In August, the Border Patrol stopped a dozen suspected terrorists on that watch list. That brings the total to 78, which is triple the previous five fiscal years combined. There are still 2 months to go. A legal group is suing over the Biden administration's student loan cancellation policy. The Pacific Legal Foundation filed suit against the Department of Education in federal court in Indiana. The group says the decision to cancel the debt is illegal because it wasn't approved by Congress. You might have noticed gas prices keep edging back up. The AAA station survey finds the national average price for regular is now back up to $3.74 a gallon today, 2 cents higher than Monday, 7 cents higher than a week ago. And NASA has come up a winner in a space-based game of darts.
a Triumph for Humanity in the name of planetary defense.
And NASA successfully crashed a spacecraft into an asteroid millions of miles away from Earth in a so-called interplanetary defense system called DART, or Double Asteroid Redirection Test. DART slammed into the space rock called Dimorphos with a goal to nudge it off its course on Monday. The asteroid poses no threat to Earth, but scientists are eager to see if their probe will alter its orbit. It's being deemed a historic victory by scientists, as the technology might be needed in the future if an asteroid is ever on track to hit Earth. We won't know for a while if the asteroid was moved off of its orbit in any direction. Still to come on the 5 o'clock report, the SWAT team called out in Erie, red ink flowing down the PA Turnpike, and what to do with all of New York State's leftover hand sanitizer.
I'm Kevin Williams, and here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. For tonight and tomorrow, variable amounts of cloudiness with a couple of scattered showers. Some locally heavier lake effect rain showers with rumbles of thunder will occur in isolated areas southeast of Lake Syrie in Ontario. Low temperatures tonight, 40s to near 50. High temperatures tomorrow, 50s to near 60. Still cool Thursday, but after a cloudy start, look for sunnier skies to return with high temperatures not far from 60.
All right, thank you very much, Kevin Williams. Check back with you in a little while. Police in Erie, PA have responded to reports of shots fired and a stabbing. Jet 24's Fontaine Glenn was live on the scene.
This is on the 2400 block of Perry Street. There is easily over 20 Erie police cars. The SWAT team is here, and just before we came live, the SWAT team was calling out. They've called out to the house there on the corner of Perry Street for the second floor to get out of the house. They've done that about a half a dozen times.
We'll keep you posted as we learn more about that situation in Erie. A pro-life activist from Bucks County, PA, due in federal court, 48-year-old Mark Houck, accused of shoving a worker at a Philadelphia Planned Parenthood last year. Fox reporter Alexandra Hoff with that story.
When it came to Houck's arrest on Friday, his wife, Ryan Marie, told the Catholic News Agency that 25 to 30 FBI agents came to their Bucks County, Pennsylvania home with their guns drawn on the family as their seven terrified children watched. The FBI calls this an overstatement, maintaining that the number of agents on scene was inaccurate and that they did not point their guns at the family or enter the home. Now, Houck's going to be arraigned today in Philadelphia federal court. If convicted, he faces up to 11 years in prison.
Houck accused of violating the Federal Access to Clinic Entrances Act, or FACE Act. His lawyer calls the charges without merit, describes the case as nothing more than an attack on pro-life Americans. A new poll shows Democratic candidates lead their Republican counterparts in the race for U.S. Senate and governor in Pennsylvania. The new Marist poll out today has Lieutenant Governor John Fetterman leading Dr. Mehmet Oz by 10 points in the race to replace retiring Senator Pat Toomey, 51% to 41%. The poll also has Attorney General Josh Shapiro ahead of Doug Mastriano by double digits. Shapiro, 53% of support among registered voters, compared to 40% for state senator and former U.S. Army Colonel Mastriano. November 8th is now 6 weeks away, yet voting has already begun in national, state, and local elections in PA.
The earliest voters are casting their ballots in Pennsylvania's general election. Tuesday marked the first day for early voting in the Keystone State. Officials at the county courthouse in Erie are cautioning voters to plan for about 20 minutes to fill out the paperwork if they do not bring in a previously requested mail-in ballot. A driver's license or state ID card is needed, or you must provide the last four digits of your Social Security number. Without that proof of identification, an early voter may cast a provisional ballot, which would then need to be verified. The last day for in-person early voting is November 1st, 1 week before Election Day. Greg Gillespie, Family Life News.
And in New York State, there will be 9 days of early voting starting October 29th. The Pennsylvania Turnpike is drowning in debt. Multiple lawmakers proposing ways to get toll road drivers to pay up, including State Senator Lisa Boscola.
If they don't pay, then we have to pay more. The ones that are legitimately paying and paying their fair share. In the end, you're going to pay more because of the scofflaw.
The Lehigh Valley Democrat wants to garnish state tax refunds and lottery proceeds from any one with an unpaid turnpike bill.
For the people out there that refuse to pay, if there's no consequence, they won't. So there has to be some kind of consequence.
A separate plan would delay vehicle registrations from owners who owe tolls. Passage of any plan not expected until the next session. A Pennsylvania school bus driver accused of assaulting a student.
Yeah, 71-year-old driver Roy Cooley is facing misdemeanor charges today after being accused of assaulting a 15-year-old student for allegedly not changing his seat on the bus. 4 weeks ago, Saxon Borough police were called to assist Children and Youth Services at Tussey Mountain High School, south of Altoona. When the student refused to move his seat, the pair allegedly got into a yelling match. Then the student and a witness claim Cooley put his hand around the teen's throat before returning to the driver's seat. Cooley's been accused of endangering the welfare of children, simple assault, and recklessly endangering another person. Tracy Lynn, Family Life News.
Thanks, Tracy. Not in New York State. Remember all of that leftover hand sanitizer piling up after the pandemic? Who'd want it? Well, Kodak apparently thinks it's a picture-perfect opportunity. The Rochester-based imaging company is buying up hundreds of thousands of unused hand sanitizers that the state of New York manufactured in the early days of COVID. State Senator Joe Griffo of Central New York.
The pandemic happened, and you know, you can't fault the state for trying to do something to keep people safe, but I think they overdid it, and now you had over 700,000 gallons of this sanitizer sitting on a runway in my district.
Griffo says that hand sanitizer in Oriskany can be recycled into other household products.
The isopropyl properties of the alcohol could be used in the cosmetic industry, and it appears now Kodak has expressed the interest in this.
Kodak will transport and recycle 168 tractor trailer loads of that New York hand sanitizer from the Syracuse area to Rochester, expected to take about a year to complete that process. Recycling of a different type in Elmira, a former elementary school there, may find new life as a 50-unit apartment complex. City Councilman Brett Sturmer says the old Booth School has been vacant for a decade, and the need for housing is great.
We're going to have more people living in this neighborhood, and that's what we really want, is we want more people living in downtown. So if we can find warehouses or schools, if they can be converted, it really is the job of your municipality to help you develop something that large.
Sturmer says he should find out in the next couple of months whether the state will provide the funds to turn that school into an apartment complex. Your nightly market report is up next, brought to you by Ambassador Advisors. Here's Family Life's Dave Margolotti.
It was a mixed session for stocks on a back-and-forth trading day. Travel stocks saw sizable gains on news that Canada will end some of the COVID-19-related travel restrictions. Foreign exchange rates remained in the spotlight as the British pound continued trading near all-time lows relative to the dollar. Oil today rising a dollar to close at $78 a barrel. Bitcoin was flat. The Dow losing 125 points. The S&P 500 touched a new 52-week low, but closed down only 7 points today as the NASDAQ rose 26. Ambassador Advisors is a Christian financial planning firm helping faithful stewards do more online at ambassadoradvisors.com.
This is the 5 o'clock report on Family Life.
God's word warns about the danger of debt. That's good, because now there's a new danger looming ahead. I am Rob West with a MoneyWise Minute. Typical buy now, pay later deals often lure folks into debt with exorbitant interest rates. Well, there's a new player in the buy now, pay later game. Apple Pay. You're now able to buy stuff you don't have cash for just by waving your smartphone. Apple will allow you to pay for purchases in 4 payments over 6 weeks, and Affirm and PayPal are expected to follow suit. Some experts fear many consumers will end up with several buy now, pay later loans, lose track of their payment dates, and sink into debt. To avoid this, pay with cash or a debit card and keep your smartphone in your pocket. Connect with a certified Kingdom advisor who's been trained to deliver financial advice that aligns with your Christian values by visiting our website, moneywise.org.
Coming up on the 5 o'clock report, be kind. Please rewind.
I'm Kevin Williams, and here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. Of course, all national weather eyes are on Hurricane Ian, a clear and present threat to Florida. Later tomorrow night through Thursday and Thursday night, is a major hurricane. No such concerns here for tonight and tomorrow. Variable amounts of cloudiness with a couple of scattered showers. Some locally heavier lake effect rain showers with rumbles of thunder will occur in isolated areas southeast of Lake Erie in Ontario. Low temperatures tonight, 40s to near 50. High temperatures tomorrow, 50s to near 60. Still cool Thursday, but after a cloudy start, look for sunnier skies to return with high temperatures not far from 60.
Thank you very much, Kevin. Finally at 5, you have to be of a certain vintage to recognize this sound. Now, if you guessed a VHS tape player loading, you're correct. Once ubiquitous, now nearly extinct. So hopefully it was an older librarian on duty in Kansas recently when someone dropped off their overdue VHS tape. 19 years overdue. That tape featuring the Russian movie Burnt by the Sun was checked up by someone on a seven-day loan in 2003. The cheery flick tells the story of a Red Army officer and his family during the Stalinist purge of 1930s Soviet Russia. I can see why you want to watch that over and over. Anyway, the library staff thought it was a hoot for the tape to show up, even though they haven't had any of them on their shelves for years. As for an overdue fine, the library does charge 30 cents a day, which would come out to a little over $2,000, but mercifully, they cap all fines at just $6. Well, time to hit the old eject button. And don't forget, be kind, please rewind. That's the world we live in for Tuesday, September 27th, 2022. Thank you again for joining us. I'm Mark Webster, Family Life News.